Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to CRE or Commercial Real Estate Radio. Today's topic is networking and working the net. That is relationship building in person and online. And today's featured guest is Laura Bruno. Laura is the relationship authority. And actually, Laura and I, we worked on this show previously, and she is going to be lots and lots of fun. I want to let everybody know that our call-in number is 619-393-6492. That's 619-393-6492. Press 1 to talk, so if you have any questions or leave any comments, please participate in the show. You can contact us on Twitter at using the @ CRE Radio. Or leave questions for us at creradio.com. You could also go to our webpage and go to the specific radio show, which is...
Let's see. It is creradio.com/networking. So, as we've started today's show, let me introduce you what today's show is about. It is about how to read people when you meet them at a networking event or online, so that you obtain from them the universal emotional like, and that is like as in quote L-I-K-E, and you motivate them to deal with you further. You really want people to work with you. We will also, and what will make this show a little bit unique, is we're going to compare the relationship building that is done in person, which is what Laura is a specialist in, and online. So, let me tell you a little bit about who Laura is. As I've said before, she's the relationship authority. And during the show, Laura will explain how to correctly read and interpret behavioral styles of people and in person. Networking events, so you can get the most out of each introduction and handshake. So without further ado, let me introduce Laura Bruno. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Howard. It's great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Laura, if you would, I'm going to throw you the first curveball. If you'd take about 30 seconds to describe what it is that you do and what your business is.
30 seconds? Wow.
Absolutely. Okay. 30 seconds, and if you go over, I will reach across the screen and strangle you. No, I'm teasing you.
Okay, go right got ahead. It. Basically, in 30 seconds or less, I lead in-person workshops here in Southern California. I'm a speaker and a consultant. I work with business professionals on how to build business relationships so that they actually get more referrals.
Wow. Well, we've got a little bit extra time, so maybe I should talk too. You did that in like 15 seconds. I want to add, just as a bit of testimonial, Laura was introduced to me through my producer, Mike, who has gone to some of her seminars and spoke very highly of Laura. So this is a personal reference from Mike to me, and I wasn't at all disappointed. It was really good. So in our pre-show interview, I had a difficult time referencing styles for some reason. So my notes, you can't see it, but I have these, the word styles are in big, bold letters. So I wouldn't forget that. Laura, let me ask you this. What are behavioral styles?
Behavioral styles is actually considered the universal language, and it's how we show up in the environment. Not the why. It has nothing to do with our values or our education, our backgrounds, and so forth. It has to do with how we show up.
What do you mean by that, how we show up? Does it mean that, when I show up at a gas station, that's my behavioral style? Could you give a little bit more detail?
Sure. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with you being at a gas station. It has more or less to do with where we come from naturally in who we are as people. So, for example, this actually goes back to Carl Jung days. And
it's who's Carl Jung?
He was a really smart guy back in the 20s who discovered that people have natural tendencies to either be more fast-paced or slower-paced in their thinking, decision-making process, and how we speak, and how we what we focus on when we're interacting with others. We're either more relationship-oriented or more task-oriented. And when you take those four different components, it ends up creating four different quadrants of how we relate to other people. And I know you want to talk a little bit more about how that refers to the social media, but I think it'll be easier for people to actually understand if we talk about it in terms at first about how that relates in person.
Great. Why don't you do that?
Okay. So in person, we have what we call verbal and some visual indicators on how we naturally behave when we first, for example, when we first meet somebody. And for example, some people talk a lot about themselves, and other people are a little bit more quiet and modest and ask more questions.
Oh, that's me.
So that's what I'm. I kind of noticed that. And other people are more about, their focus is more about building a relationship and getting to know the person. And other people are more involved with just getting to the bottom line, making a decision, and moving on and moving forward.
Now, if I can interrupt you for a second, you had sent to me this a diagram of the four mm-hmm. quadrants, so to speak, and that's either up on the website now or will be up on the website. And we'll be referencing that because it really helps describe things. But why don't you talk about a little bit, what those four quadrants are again and what they represent.
Okay, so for those people that actually can't see what it is, if you were to draw a horizontal line across a piece of paper and then a vertical line intersecting that so it ends up looking like a giant plus sign, the horizontal line is what we call the pace, and that's either what I was talking about earlier, the fast-paced, versus that would be like on the right-hand side, and slow pace would be listed over to the left. Mm-hmm. And then the vertical line has to do the upper, at the top of the vertical line, if you write the word people or relationships, and down at the bottom, you'd write the word task or results, and that ends up creating four quadrants. And so if we start with, for example, the upper left-hand quadrant, which is a slower-paced, relationship-oriented person, we call those our S's. So we're going to talk about DISC, which is an acronym, and it's D-I-S-N-C. The D stands for driving, the I stands for inspiring, the S stands for steady, and the C stands for compliance.
Well,
we start in the upper.
Yeah, can we start a bit, rather than following the D-I-S-C, which is a little bit unusual for you, could we start to describe the S and what those characteristics are, all right?
Okay. Yeah, let's start with S. So the S is our nurturing, supporting, sensitive souls out there that care about other people and building a relationship. And some of the descriptors that are on that piece of paper, or actually it's on the internet now, that if people can see it, talk about being stable and patient. These people are supporting and deliberate. They make great listeners. If you were to look at a profession, you could look at teachers and nurses. These are people that care about other people. Yeah, do you want me to go deeper than that, or do you want to move on to the other question?
No, actually, what I'd like to do is tell everybody that we're talking with you about networking here on CRE Radio, and we will be right back, and what we can do is talk a little bit more about where we just left off when we come back. Is that all right?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockscre.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Welcome back to CRE Radio, and we're talking with Laura Bruno, the Relationship Authority. And when we last, where did we last leave off? We were talking about some of the characteristics of a, what we refer to as stable, good listener, someone who's peaceful, modest, etc. Why do we even care about those characteristics in, I'm saying, the people that we observe if we're in a one-to-one networking situation in person?
Well, I think we care about that because we're wanting to make a good first impression when we're out networking, and we're wanting to continue to build the relationships that we've already started with some other people. And because we as human beings are built a little differently, we have a tendency to follow the golden rule, which is to treat others the way that we want to be treated. But in business, I believe that we need to follow the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is...
Can we get back to the platinum rule? I'm going to redirect you a little bit here. Really, what I meant by that question in terms of the character, we're describing people right now, if a person is a good mm-hmm. listener, and we're yeah. in a, say, at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, why do I care whether or not I'm approaching someone who's a good listener or someone who's stable versus someone who's enthusiastic and friendly? Now, should I even be observant of that? Does it make any difference?
Well, I think it does, yeah.
Why?
Because you want to build relationships from the get-go. We want to build them well so that people will like us.
Well, am I going to behave differently if I think that someone is quiet, and I think you used as a description of someone who's in that S category of a good listener, peaceful, a Mother Teresa. When I mm-hmm. approach them, am I going to behave differently than I would if I approach someone else with different characteristics?
Well, I would hope so.
Why?
Because you're a real talkative guy.
Okay.
And you're just to be honest, the way that you go about yourself is, and a lot of us do this too, is we project ourselves onto other people. And that's where I was starting with that platinum rule, which is to treat others the way that they want to be treated. Because we're all a little fundamentally different. And if we just treat people the way that we are, you know, like you and I are pretty talkative. But other people are more mild-mannered. And we can be overbearing, and we won't be building positive credibility if we're talking too much.
Well, unfortunately, that's never happened to me.
Oh, good.
Well, you sound surprised. Actually, that is true. And, you know, you can feel that. There are times that I've been at networking events, seminars, whatever, and I walk up to people and I am my big, gregarious self, and you can feel people back away.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you should be paying attention to?
Yeah, you know, if you think about, there was a TV show back on in the 1960s called My Favorite Martian.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You are? Oh, good. You know, he had these two little antennas that would come out of his head, if you remember, and he would be receiving information, and then he would properly, you know, most of the time, respond to that information as he received it. And that's how I kind of look at getting out there and meeting people, whether it's at a, you know, a chamber of commerce or some other type of business or social function, is that we need to have our radar up so that we can read other people. Because if we're really talkative and they're really on the quiet and more modest side, we can be overpowering for them and we won't be building a good first impression. And in business, we actually want to do that. And a lot of people don't know how.
And one of the things that we'll be talking about later on in the show, and that you go into more detail at your seminars, is how to try to identify the characteristics of people when they give you these visual or verbal cues, rather than me being overpowering and then discovering in the middle of my conversation that, whoops, I read that wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you ever find out who Uncle Martin was in that show?
Ray.
Huh?
And gosh, you know, I had a workshop yesterday, and I actually asked this because we talked about it. And his last name starts with a W.
Yes, it does.
But it's not Watkins. It's an unusual.
It's Ray.
Right, did you figure it out?
Yes. No, I went online and I went to Wikipedia, and it's Ray Walston.
Ray Walston.
And he died not too many years ago. He lived a good long life, Ray Walston. And do you know who the other star of the show was?
I do not remember.
Bill Bixby. And do you know who Bill Bixby was? What his biggest part was? I know you. I asked the question.
No,
I'm
having a brain fade. But I used to watch that show. All right, fill me in.
He was the original Hulk.
Oh, wow.
On the TV show The Hulk, he was the original Hulk. So he went from, I guess he was like some sort of reporter who befriended, diverge here a bit. But the reason why we're kind of laughing about it, for anybody who's listening, is that we had talked about this before. But getting back to the point, yeah, you need to be very, very receptive as to who it is that's at the networking event. And they obviously give you signals. They give you signals telling you, you know, what it is that they are, what their characteristics are. And we're going to get a little bit more into that after the break. And we're now going to take a short break.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. tacticsmagazine.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-area-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Let's get back to what we were talking about. Let's talk about some of the other quadrants and how they compare to each other.
Okay. So where we were, we started with the S quadrant, which is the Mother Teresa and the quiet, wonderful person that likes to build relationships. Over moving to the right is the I quadrant that stands for inspire. If you remember Cyndi Lauper, she wrote a song called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Our high I people want to have fun. They're social. They smile a lot. They make great mixers. They're friendly, enthusiastic. If we move down to the lower right-hand quadrant, our D are daring, direct, and decisive people. They're what I call like our Donald Trump, and they are our fast-paced, bottom-line people. They're also our leaders when we have a project going on. They want to take charge. And then moving over to the last quadrant, which is the lower left-hand quadrant, is our C, which are our compliance people. These are our people that are analytical. They want a process. They want a system. They follow the rules. They want us to follow the rules. And these people are typically more like CPAs and engineers in their job. And so basically, people have a couple of different characteristics that are more dominant in their natural style, and they have a tendency to show up in the world as either, you know, one, their natural style. So it's either, you know, they're slow-paced or they're fast-paced, they're more relationship-focused or they're more task-focused. Where would you like me to go from there? Because there are some visual and verbal indicators we could talk about so that people could recognize some of their own styles and some others.
Well, before we get to that, now you said that there are dominant styles, but people who go to networking events, do they tend to be one style?
My experience is that no. That my experience would be no, because I have met all kinds of people out at networking events, because in this economy, people have gone back to the basics where they know they need to go out and meet people in order to grow their business. But there is one small little caveat, and that's those two lower quadrants, the DC blends that are more task and result oriented. I see those less. I see more of the relationship people is my experience.
But don't all of us have some of all of these characteristics? I mean, I look at this go, yeah, most people think of me as probably upper right or lower right quadrant, but, you know, sometimes I'm more methodical, more precise. I have very high standards. Mm-hmm. That's the lower left quadrant. Do people always exhibit these characteristics the same way at the same time?
No. and you're right, though. I want to rewind for a moment, and that
sure.
We all have characteristics in each four of the styles. You know, and I can run you through a quick example.
Sure.
You know, if you've got a deadline to meet by 3 o'clock, or say like our deadline to start the show at noon, we're going to drop everything. We're not going to answer the phone. We're not going to be taking care of social phone calls. We're going to, you know, drive ourselves to be ready to start this show at noon. And so that's a D characteristic. We're going to make sure and focus on getting that done. But there are other times when you're out with friends and you're having a really good time and you're social and you're in your high I. You know, you're feeling friendly and want to get along and hang out with other people. And then something else could happen later in the day where you got a phone call where something, you know, tragic has happened to a close friend or family member, and you shift into a sensitive and supporting role. And then, you know, there are other times, maybe late in the day, you get a contract that comes across that's 20 pages long, and you're going to have to go what I call to the granular level of detail and read what's in that contract and focus on, you know, the I's being dotted and the T's being crossed. So we have characteristics in all four styles. What happens with most people is we usually have a couple of these styles that are more dominant in our natural way of dealing with people. So you talked about the I and the D. So you're more probably fast-paced. You make quicker decisions naturally in who you are in a lot of different scenarios. Versus there are a lot of other people. As a matter of fact, more people out in our world today are the CS blend where they need to give it some more thought. And they need to get to know you better before they'll do business with you.
Well, in a networking environment, when I'm at an event, I'm almost just the opposite as I am in other situations.
Okay.
I tend to almost shy away. I'm a little reluctant to approach people. Well, I mean, once you get me started, you can't get me to stop, but getting me started is a little difficult. So maybe at a networking event, I'm really more of the C descriptor. How do people, when you're observing people, how do they express their characteristics? It's by their behavior, isn't it?
Yeah, it is by their behavior. I can give you three great examples for some what I call visual indicators.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay. So number one is the handshake, but this doesn't always work, but it almost always works when you get, you know, there's some people that have like a firm handshake. A very firm handshake. And I was raised so that I was taught that you need to have a firm handshake if you want to be respected. But there are different people, you know, don't utilize that same philosophy. And some people, when you shake their hand, they have a really weak or what they call a limp fish.
There you go.
So that really soft handshake or the limp fish is an indicator of someone that's more on the C or the S. So another one of the visual indicators is the proximity. The D's and the I's will want to stand closer and almost in your face. And we've all had that experience of when someone is actually, you know, like in our space and too close, and we take a step back and then they take a step forward. Sure. And that has that is typically the D or the I characteristics. And if you notice, if you shake hands with someone new and they actually take a little step back, then they're telling us that they're a C or an S and they need a little bit more space. And that's, again, where the platinum rule kicks in, is that we need to treat other people the way they want to be treated. So if someone's taken a step back, we need to give them their space.
Does that make sense? Oh, not only it makes incredible sense, and it's amazing how often we ignore the most obvious point, which you just made. Listen, we'll be right back for more from our guest, Laura Bruno. Please stay with us here on CRE Radio.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's ProspectNow.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Block CRE. Built by brokers, for brokers, Building Block CRE is the best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more, easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockscre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Block CRE, Easy to learn, easy to use. Log on to blockscre.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. You're listening to a revealing discussion. Who wrote this note? Revealing discussion of networking with Laura Bruno. I would reference it more as an interesting discussion, and it's going to get more interesting. Laura, when we had taken the break, I heard you take a breath. You were about to say something. Do you remember what you were about to say?
Yeah, I was actually going to go into the third visual indicator.
Good. Go ahead.
It has to do with eye contact. And eye contact pretty much gives us all away if we're paying attention. And there are, for example, the high Ds, the Donald Trumps of the world, can have a very direct, almost a glaring stare. And that is very intimidating to the other three styles, because the eyes will have what I call happy eyes, where you look into someone's eyes and they're smiling back at you. And the S's and the C's don't like a constant gaze. They have a tendency to look away, which drives the D's and the I's bananas, because they want your attention. And the C's and the S's need to take a break. Usually, most is about 30 seconds. They'll maintain a straight gaze, and then they'll look away. They'll look at the ground, or they'll look at somebody else walking by in order to break up the intensity of the eye contact. So if you take these three things into consideration when you're going out networking, is, you know, how far apart are you standing? You know, how intense is your gaze? And the handshake, it can tell a lot about the individual. And if we're aware of it, we can also demonstrate those visual indicators so that hopefully someone else is reading them and then treating us properly with our physical space.
That's interesting. I'd like to, just for a moment, step back a little bit and discuss how this relates to online social behavior. Because
sure.
To me, this is very, very similar, because you're not talking about the physical handshake as much as you're talking about people's personal characteristics. And how they express those characteristics. And you're talking about the platinum rule, which is treat people how they want to be treated. Well, that's very similar to how you act online, too, if you're going to participate in social media, except instead of it being expressed by a person visually or verbally, they express it predominantly in writing, although that's going to change a little bit more towards video. So people really can express who they are, and we'll talk about later about developing relationships, but you're really talking about behavior that if you want to develop relationships in your personal life, online or otherwise, you need to be very perceptive about other people's characteristics. And I think that's the real important message that you're getting across here. Why don't we go a little bit, let me ask you this question. If you go to a networking event, should you pay more attention to how you're perceived by others or how you perceive others?
I think it's a blend.
Well, let's talk about that. We've been talking a little bit about how you perceive others. What about how you are perceived by others? Should you pay attention to that at all?
Well, of course. It's a balance. It's a blend.
And how do you do that? And how do, I think it's real obvious to me. As I ask the question, I'm going, I really want to know this, but it now seems a little bit more obvious to me. But why do you really care on how others perceive you? As
well,
obvious as that seems.
Yeah, we want to build positive credibility in the community. And here's something to think about is word-of-mouth marketing is always working, Howard. The question is it working for us or is it working against us? And so, of course, we want to be aware and we want to come across professional and we want to come across as credible as we can. And how this plays in, I want to tie back to some verbal indicators now, is because let's just say you and I were to meet for the first time at a networking event and you asked me, so, hey, Laura, like, what do you do for a living? And I went on and on and on and on all about me. The record, by the way, is 7 minutes. I was at a networking event about 5 years ago. And I asked this woman, what do you do? And the poor thing went on for 7 minutes. And at the end of 7 minutes, I still didn't understand what it was that she did. And I said, please, let me help you. You know, and it took me a few minutes. I asked her some pointed questions to figure out what she does to be able to articulate it and gave it back to her. And she goes, yeah, that's what I do. And I was like, okay. You know, so, but how do other people perceive her? You know, if she's unable to articulate what she does briefly and succinctly. And so what we want to be cognizant of is, you know, being able, like you gave me 30 seconds. Laura, tell us what you do in 30 seconds or you'll reach over the phone and you'll strangle me. So, you know, I know to be brief, right?
Right. You took that a little bit too seriously, though.
Well, I've never been on your radio show before, Howard.
That's
you know,
okay.
I wasn't quite sure here. You know, I'm still feeling it out. But so we want to be cognizant of how we're being perceived and introduce ourselves and break the ice coming from a space of I'm wanting to leave you with a good impression of me. We all want to do that.
And what you do is first your antenna have to go up. And you're perceiving other people so that you can determine the way that they would be more receptive based upon their perception of you. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of people make a few mistakes here. You know, the old ways of networking are not appropriate anymore. Let me give you a couple examples, which is passing out a whole bunch of cards to a group of people that you don't even know. I mean, think about it. How many times have we ever bought something from someone we just met? And people have this mindset of, here's my card, and I want you to buy from me. That's not working in this environment anymore. And the other one that people do a lot is, oh, may I have your card? May I have your card? And the very next day, I'm now getting spammed an email. We are all done with those two forms of networking. It's really old school, and it doesn't work these days. What real networking now is about building a relationship and getting to know each other both on a personal and professional note. And that's where I think it ties more into social media because that's what happens a lot on social media too is we're being bombarded by some folks, here's my product, come buy from me.
Yeah. And now if I might, let's take a break for a few words from the good people who pay our bills around here. And when we come back, I would like to talk, you know, you've got some great examples of the all of the things that you shouldn't do when you go to a networking event. And from my perspective, it also relates to making yourself visible versus building credibility, which is a whole conversation I'd like to get into. So let's hear from the people who pay the bills around here.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. TECH, that's the tech. NIQUES, there you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Welcome back to our discussion of networking. And before the break, we were talking about some of the things that perhaps you shouldn't do. And I know that Laura mentioned, among other things, you know, just handing out your cards or some of the old school, here's my card, buy my product. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is when you first go to a networking event, as you approach it in your preparation, your mindset, do you go to a networking event expecting to sell, or is that old school too?
I think it's old school.
Well, why is it old school, and should you not do that?
Well, because I think we were talking about this right before the break, which is when, how many times have you ever met someone for the first time and instantly bought from them? You know, I actually asked this question at my workshop last week when we had about 18 people in there, and no one raised their hand. Because I asked it. I ask people all the time, do you ever buy something the first time you meet someone? Now, yesterday I had a workshop, and I actually had two people raise their hand. So I said, is that the norm for you, or is that the exception for you? And they're going, it's the exception. So if people have a mindset of, you know, first touch, yeah, you're going to buy from me, I think that's the wrong mindset.
Well,
I think the mindset should be about building the relationship, getting to know people first, because that's how we do business. We do business with people we know, like, and trust.
Should you go to a networking event expecting to act or behave in a specific way?
You know, I think we all have... That's a really good question. And I wouldn't say that we need to act in a certain way. What I share with people, I had a girlfriend of mine recently... started a new business for herself where she's out in front of the public several times a week at groups. And she is an off-the-chart, I love this lady, but she's an off-the-chart high D and high I. And most people aren't built that way. Most people have a higher S in them. So what I shared with her as she starts leading these groups is that she needs to come from, you know, an S, a high S, a more sensitive listening mode when she goes there. So is that what you're driving at, Howard?
Yes.
Okay. So, and that's what I share with her, and that's what I attempt to do as well when I get up and lead a workshop or I'm going to be, you know, speaking, is I want to have my listening hat on and my radar up to see who these people are in the room. What is their behavioral style so that I can fit in better? And so my girlfriend says to me, Laura, I do not have any S in me. She goes, how do I start there? That's just not how I think I should be. I think I should be the hostess and come on, you know, very friendly. And I said, once again, that's following the golden rule. And being the hostess is great, but being overly friendly can actually steer some people away from wanting to get to know you or do business with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So start in S. Yeah. So you go, start in S and then shift. And so she had this conversation with me where she's going, how do I do that? You know, and you and I were on the phone the other day, and you asked me, I think, something along the same lines. Is that what you asked me the other day?
They're very similar. I mean, in talking with you, all I could think about is all of the things that I've done wrong at networking events, because I have approached people and I've been very friendly, and there were times I can feel them. I know what they're thinking sometimes, and they're going, why is this guy so friendly? I don't trust him. He wants something from me. And that relates to, and we'll talk about it, trust. All of a sudden, I haven't developed any basis for trust, and I wasn't being receptive to the signals that they were selling, obviously, or sending.
Sorry, Howard.
No, that's okay. That refers to something.
But you know what?
What?
Can I tell you something?
What?
It happens to all of us.
Okay.
It happens to all of us. So I don't want you to feel bad.
Even you?
Sure.
I'm so glad you said that to me. Mike was giving me a Kleenex and I was about to just start crying.
I know. I'm so sorry. No. But, you know, I would think I went to my very first mixer in, it's almost been 10 years. And I was told that, Laura, you need to go to a chamber, you need to join the Chamber of Commerce. That's where you will find your clients. And so I went with the mindset of, yep, I'm going to go out, I'm going to sell myself, and I'm going to find clients. And I walked into this chamber event, and there were at least 200 or 300 people there. I was a nervous wreck. I didn't know what I was doing. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way. And, you know, even on occasion, I still will go out to an event, and I'll be in a great mood because I like to smile and have a good time, and I can tell that I just came across too friendly to somebody else. The thing is that as soon as we recognize it, is to take a step back and to be quiet and regroup and say, you know what, I've talked enough about me. Tell me about you.
I've never said that. It's never even crossed my mind. I'm kidding.
Well, you might want to try.
Now I am going to cry. No.
Don't cry.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about, now we're starting to get into what I think are the real nuts and bolts of why you're really going to go to a networking event. Or, and I think the same thing holds true, why you are even involved in social media. Take out the personal side, although there can be, it can be personal, but from a business perspective, why should you go to a networking event? Is it to make a sale, or are there other purposes that you think are really worthwhile?
Well, I think the answer is no. Do not go to a networking event with the intention to sell. That, again, is, I think, old school. I think people should go to networking events to go out and meet people, gain visibility and exposure, find the right people that they can build relationships with. I actually suggest that people go to networking events to meet their strategic alliances, people that they can build a relationship with and pass referrals back and forth. And that's the mindset that I think they should go with. They should go with the mindset of making a good impression, which comes from another place, which is, so how can I help you? So you meet someone, you find out a little bit about them as a person, you find out about them as a business person, what do they do for a living, you see if there's any synergy, any real connection, and then you got to exit. And that's one of the toughest things about networking events is sometimes we all get trapped in talking to people or listening to people that are going on. And it's like, okay, next. And so how do you exit gracefully? And one of the ways to do that is by introducing them to someone else.
Oh.
You know, it's been really nice talking to you, Howard. But, you know, we're both here to meet some other people. I've learned a lot about you. I look forward to our paths crossing again in the future. Who else would you like to meet here tonight? And think about how you can help them and make an introduction to someone else that could help them grow their business.
That's a great idea. We're going to return from Laura and discuss more about networking and perhaps the distinction between creating visibility and building a positive credibility after these messages.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or via email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio and our guest, Laura Bruno. Laura, I have two words for you, and see if we can embellish upon those words, because we were just talking about how to cut off that first momentary meeting, and yeah, you had a great idea. But the words I want to throw out there are patience and follow-up. Let's talk a little bit about patience, because I think that's really what you were talking about.
Okay, what do you have in mind with that, Howard?
Well, I wanted to throw out something that would totally confuse you.
Of course you did.
Well, if you're going to a networking event and you're not going there to make a sale at the event and you're just intending to meet someone and develop a relationship, you can't try to make the sale at that moment. It's just an initial meeting. It is really just creating that visibility, and you have to be patient. And you have to know that, I mean, isn't this true? Once you've made that visibility, you then have to follow up at a later time. Developing a relationship doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't.
So what do you do in that respect? You started out with, okay, you had your antenna up, you've identified someone's characteristics, you approach them in the proper way. So now that you have, well, at least you have met them and you have not created a negative credibility, right? Which I think is a word that you used when we spoke last. And now you've gotten rid of them. I shouldn't describe it that way, but in essence, you've handed them off to someone else because you want to get rid of them.
Well, let's take a step back for a moment and go back to that patience thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So when we're meeting someone and, you know, we're reading them to see what their style is so that we can create a positive, good impression and start to build, you know, some positive credibility, I actually go through a mindset kind of questionnaire, which is what they do. So, you know what? No, let me go back for a moment. There's one thing that I hear people say all the time when you ask them, what do they do? And this is one of the biggest things. It's one of the biggest mistakes ever. They use the word you, Y-O-U. And they actually say, I will help you retire, you know, for a financial planner, or I'll help you lower your insurance rates, or I help you fill in the blank. And that comes across as salesy. So we need to strike that word from our vocabulary when we're one-on-one and someone asks us what to do, because you want to build positive credibility, not negative. And using the word you is building negative credibility right from the get-go.
Really?
So if we take, oh yeah, so if we take that word out of our vocabulary when we describe what it is that we do, we stand a better chance. If someone is interested in what we are doing, this happened to me yesterday. I was at a ribbon cutting event with a chamber, and a man came up to me and actually said to me, you know, I'm interested in having you come speak to our group. I said, great, let's talk more. And he gave me his card, and we'll follow up. But if he does not indicate, if someone doesn't indicate that they're interested, which happens all the time to most of us, you know, it's like, oh, that's nice, I do this, and you know, and they go on about themselves. And you don't see a synergistic relationship for, number one, business, number two, on a social level, or number three, on a common client, to be able to build a strategic relationship, then, yeah, we need to exit gracefully. And so in the patient's part, what I'm coming across is, what I'd like to come across as, is we want to be more interested than interesting in our interactions with other people. And you're right, that takes patience. So we want to find out about them and see if there's any chemistry on those three levels. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, it's my show. You go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, and the other part was, you know, the follow-up piece. Well, you want to follow up in an appropriate manner that works for other people. So I didn't ever used to do this either, by the way. I used to just follow up because I spent 21 years at the phone company, so my thing was, you know, talking to people on the phone. But there are a lot of people that prefer email. And there are some people that would rather talk on the phone and not meet in person. So you got to figure out if someone wants to, you know, follow up with you in person, via email, or over the phone. And then what we got to do, quite simply, is get our ask in gear, and we need to ask them what's their preferred method for follow-up.
I think I really heard the K in that.
There was a K.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure.
No, we have to get our ask.
Oh, A-S-K. Okay.
Howard, keep it clean.
Okay, sorry. See, this is web radio, so I can be a little bit off color. I'm having too much. No, I can't. but I'm having too much fun with you, Laura. Really, we've got to actually meet each other. So you have to look and you have to determine if someone is engaged with you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Let me. I'm just skipping. I've just turned the page, and my attention span has just flipped over. But if you're still trying to read other people, how do you? You're looking at a number of different things. If people are in a group and you want to talk to someone, what are you looking for? How do you get into the group to do that? Because I know that I'll look for a group, and if they're really close together so that I physically can't squeeze in, I just kind of walk away, and I feel a little bit like a piranha waiting for, you know, the fish to swim away from the group so that I can gobble them up. And in a way, I'm afraid that I might even act like that. So I try to avoid that. But how do you approach a group of people in order to be included in the conversation?
That's a good question, too. And there isn't a firm solution to that, in my humble opinion. It's each group is going to be a little different. So if they're in a tight, close-knit circle and you really want to get in, you got to still be business appropriate. So if you know someone in the group, you try and make eye contact with them. So you kind of huddle around maybe a couple of feet away, and you're looking at the guy that you know and seeing if you can get their attention. And sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't. I mean, it's happened to me, too. It's an awkward moment. But you're trying to get in there, and they may just, you know, never look at you. If they don't look at you within about 30 seconds to a minute, you're not going to get in at that point. They're in the middle of a conversation, and they're all, what I call uninterruptible. And you got to let it go. I've had a situation that's happened to me about 4 years ago where I was actually having a conversation with two people that were interested in what I do, and one of my clients literally grabbed me on my left arm right below my shoulder and pulled me physically away to go talk to somebody else.
Hmm.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Asked me if the people that I was talking to, if they saw the guy that pulled me away, as how they perceive him.
Oh.
And this is what happens to some of us. Exactly. You know, he didn't realize that what he was doing was building negative credibility and damaging mine in the process. It was a learning lesson for both of us.
You're listening to CRE Radio. Don't go away. When we come back, I want to talk to Laura about positive credibility and the relationship of that to the word trust.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. tacticsmagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's ProspectNow.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
We'll be back to, we are back to our discussion of networking with our, Laura Bruno. And when we left off, I wanted to address the issue of, or the relationship between positive credibility and trust. What is that relationship and why do we care about that, Laura?
Well, because we do business with people we know, like, and trust. And a lot of people actually consider that credibility and trust are the same thing, but what I want to do is draw a distinction that they are not. Credibility has to do with, you know, for example, I know you do a good job, Howard. You know, people, I've done business with you, you're reliable, you're on time, your price is the price that I got billed was the price that I was quoted. You know, things like that can build credibility. But trust comes from a whole other place. So, for example, you know, who would you trust giving your car keys to, or the keys to your home, or babysitting your kid? You know, you've got to have trust there, and that's a whole other level, and that ties back into the different behavioral styles, is that different behavioral styles build trust differently.
Could you give me some examples?
So, for example, you know, our Donald Trumps of the world, they are looking at establishing trust by some of the basics that we talked about. You're keeping your word, you show up, and you do all the right things. But they also build trust based on another piece of criteria, which is, what do you bring to them? You know, versus the eyes are looking at, are you going to make this more fun and more enjoyable? And have a more social aspect in getting to know people. And they develop trust more quickly than our seasoned S's. Our seasoned S's build trust slowly, typically over a longer period of time. They need more testimonials. They need more information. And they need to know us for a longer period of time. So the building relationship piece, in all honesty, is a little different for the different behavioral styles.
But the goal is to build the relationship, and from there you can do business, correct?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, you certainly increase. I mean, there's not always. There was a time I've got a client that we had worked for many years, and then he went on to another business, and for about another 10 years we didn't do business. And then when he got back into something that we could work together, we were right back to doing business again, because there was the relationship, the trust. So the original relation, we developed the relationship from the trust. And we developed the trust from the the positive, what's the word I'm looking for? The positive credibility. And you are able to develop the positive credibility first by creating the visibility. So wouldn't it go in that order? Visibility, positive credibility, trust, and then relationship. Doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And that's really what your goal should be, whether or not it's online or in person. I mean, online, people mistake, from my perspective, the visibility part. They think that they should send out something in LinkedIn that goes, buy my product.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great. Or something like that. And they believe that the mere fact that they've made themselves visible builds that positive credibility. And truthfully, it doesn't. It's just like doing it in person.
I agree.
I mean, as you said, you don't go to a networking event expecting to make the sale right away. You need to create that positive credibility. Now, before we close the show, let's talk a little bit about genuineness. There's a word that you use. I've used the word genuineness. What's the word that you use?
Authentic.
Authentic. How do you... Now, you read someone, and, you know, because your antenna are up, and you read someone, and then you go, okay, in order for me to build that positive credibility, I need to show them that I care. So you go, you can't say, I care. But somehow or another, you have to convey the message that you truly do care. It has to be authentic. It has to be genuine. How do you do that?
That's a tough one. And you reminded me of the quote from Theodore Roosevelt when you said that. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
It's a good quote.
You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so asking how do you be authentic to be able to, you know, make a good impression and build some positive credibility. You know, I was starting to talk about that a little while earlier in our show, in that, you know, my girlfriend that is a high D, high I, which is very outgoing, very friendly, very results-oriented, how does she start, you know, her new workshops from a place that is the S? And the way that I answered her is the way that I do it myself. And the way that I do it is I attempt to tap into that piece of me. Because remember, we have tendencies in all four behavioral styles, right? And so if you know that you're talking to an S, or if you know you're talking to a C, or if you aren't even sure who they are, what you want to do is be a little bit more sensitive and tap into that place in your own heart. And so what I talked to her about is, and I know her pretty well, is that I said, you know, your daughter is bipolar and she has ADHD, and when your daughter needs your help, you turn on that nurturing side of you automatically and tap into that. And for some of us, it's easier to do than others. And you and I talked the other day about something else, which is, it's going to take practice. Do you remember when we talked about that? What did
absolutely.
You say?
Well, I was
tell
talking,
me what you said, because it was really of value.
Well, there are a couple of things. I talked about it when I was I do theater, and you practice the situation over and over and over again, and then somewhere along the lines, you become that character. You actually feel what that character's supposed to feel. The lines are no longer lines without the feelings, that you genuinely start feeling those things. Now, that's acting. That's not so much feeling. But that's kind of what I do. I think that I'm a very empathetic person, so it comes much more naturally to me than it might other people. We probably have listeners who are going, okay, that's good. I'm supposed to tap into my inner self and think about something. How do I do that? And I'd like to suggest that if you don't really know how to do it, then that's why they speak to someone like you who helps them do that. You can't just say, be empathetic. Because there are some people who don't know how to do that. I don't mean that as a criticism. It's just something, from my perspective,
they're just not built that way.
One of the biggest mistakes that I see in salespeople is that you say, here's this tool, this is what you should say. And so people use the tools in a very shallow way. And I suppose sometimes it works. But when you want to build a relationship where you're really going to have something of value over the long term, those key words don't last long unless you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I agree.
And you and I had talked about it, and I don't gratuitously hand out, well, you ought to give Laura a call. Because, frankly, I mean it, I mean this sincerely, and we're getting close to the end of the show right now. And so the timing of this is pretty good. But really, if you don't know how to do this stuff, you could take some seminars. But probably the best thing to do is not only learn this initially, but continue with a coach who can help guide you to become what you want, not to sound or look like what you want.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to charge you
that
for
was
that.
Good.
Yeah, that's that's going to cost you, little lady.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, in closing, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to make? And then I'm going to ask you, you know, some questions about other speaking engagements you have.
Oh, thanks. In closing, what comments do I have? You know, is to just get out there. You know, we were talking about that earlier. Just to truly get out there and practice. Get some help from someone that you trust. Someone that knows how to network. There are a lot of people out there. I'm one of them, but some people aren't close to Southern California. So find someone that can help help you get out there, build relationships, network more effectively, so that your business will grow this year.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. You just got to go out and do it. And as Mike has said, if you're doing cold calling, which is another different sales technique, you have to take the attitude that there are just so many failures that you have available. Go out there and get rid of all of them. Go out there and make as many mistakes as you can, because if you take that attitude, eventually you're going to learn. And if you don't, then maybe move on to something else.
Okay.
So, do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
As a matter of fact, I have another interview on the internet next Friday afternoon at noon. Also, it's posted on my website. It's through the Torrance Chamber. I'll be speaking. I have my own workshop coming up in September on the 12th in Torrance. I'll be speaking. We've got a couple more engagements coming up in September, but the dates aren't firm yet for a Chadwick professional group and for another group of attorneys and financial planners and CPAs in September in El Segundo. But all that stuff would be listed on my website.
Absolutely. And what's your website?
It's my name. It's Laura, my middle initial A, Bruno, BRUNO.com, and it's LAURA, so there are actually three A's in there, LAURA, ABRUNO.
Outstanding, outstanding. Laura, you've been a wonderful guest. Before we go on, I just want to mention to everybody that we will be doing our next show, will be at the end of this month, where we will be talking about the new lease accounting standards, which have changed. We will also be doing a show on PR firms for commercial real estate, why you should consider and what advantages and disadvantages there are to PR firms. And we have a whole bunch of other shows in the works right now. So everyone, Laura, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been a wonderful guest, and I hope I haven't been talking about myself too much.
No, not at all, Howard. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been a blast.
Yeah, we've got to meet each other in person. You're really outstanding. And with that being said, I'd like to close the show.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-ARIA 393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guest conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.